Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Bertanes, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, I'm very happy we will have great guests here to introduce. It is a cyber girl, Caitlin. She's really known as a cybersecurity girl only, and she educates millions about digital safety and inspire more women to pursue security cyber careers. And then we have Dr. Till Wonbeck, Oxford-trained historian and former CEO of Welthungerhilfe, founded Impact to turn donations into investments that empower African entrepreneurs. So, but first, let's kick things off with a song selected by Caitlin.
Hey now, hey now. A beautiful night. I could almost kiss the stars for shining so bright.
I'm very happy to welcome today Caitlin. Caitlin, you met me in London some months ago, and I really remember your great speech. Caitlin Sarian, better known as Cybersecurity Girl, is making online safety accessible, relatable, and even fun for millions worldwide. So welcome, Caitlin, here in the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And thanks for playing that song. That's so funny. I thought it was like a fun fact. I didn't think it was going to be played, but I think it's great.
With 2.1 million followers and 45 million monthly views, you break down everything from scam sporting to data protection and plain language that actually sticks. Your viral tips have empowered people of all ages to safeguard your privacy, launch cyber careers, and protect their families. Recognized as Cybersecurity Woman of the Year and honored by organizations from NATO to Mel Robbins to the Vatican, Kaitlyn is proving that cybersecurity is for everyone and it's never too late to get smart about it. Kaitlyn, so great to have you here with such an important topic, which is also actually even more important than ever, right? So how did it come that you picked this topic of curiosity?
Yeah, so I had been working in cybersecurity for at least 8 years at that point before I started doing social media. And actually, before I even started cyber, I was like everyone else, right? I thought cybersecurity was a hooded man and hacking in a basement. And it wasn't until someone, when I was doing job interviews after college, someone brought me in and was like, no, there's other things we can train you. And so that was really one of the main reasons why I started this channel was to show people all the different areas of cyber that they can get into, and also to show women that we belong here too. I don't seem like a stereotypical woman in tech or cyber either, but I also did aerospace before that. And I just wanted to inspire the next generation of women to have them see themselves in a career here. But yeah, cybersecurity is such it's a really cool area to go into as a career. And you don't need to just hack. We need every single type of person in order to stay ahead of the bad guys. So I just wanted to start sharing, you know, tips and tricks on how to get into cyber and what a career looks like in it, and it just exploded.
Cybersecurity has, of course, also something to do with safety in an unsafe world. Is this something where you get also feedback from other people that they say, for example, thank you, Kaitlyn, made this and this and that to me?
Yeah, I get that all the time in my inboxes. So like I said, I have three main goals: to get more women to see themselves in STEM or tech careers, and specifically cyber. I would love to get more people into a career as a whole. And then I also love being able to protect the general public on how to be safe online and teach them how and why it's relevant to them. So I get messages all the time saying like, hey, I showed your video to my mom, or I showed your video to my, you know, my friend, and it helped her realize that she was, you know, getting catfished and dating, or, you know, that there was the telephone call that she got was a scam, or, you know, I got the same thing and I was really worried because we get, you know, the online scams are so bad right now. And so it's really nice to be able to have this platform to share what's going on in the world and also just show how relevant it is to everyone and just protect as many people as possible.
Great. I mean, if you look at these feedbacks, but also if you look at that word, I think you must face a lot of, how to say, a lot of things which could bring people down. Do you have things what you do to bring you up to feel relaxed? Because you already said there are so many scams, phishing mails, and so on. You have to be really in a very concentrated mood to not make any mistakes. Do you have some tips for us?
Yeah, so I have a few. I think I have some for cybersecurity scams. I have some general laws that I go by, or like rules for myself. And I know that this is more applicable to me, but I don't ever click on links. If someone sends me a link, I'm like, what is this? Can you send me a PDF on an email? Like, I do not want this. But I also, there's just like, you do as much as you can, and then to make you feel empowered or protected. Everything is a risk-based decision, and that's based on you, your family, your loved ones. I just make sure that I do the things that I need to in order to feel secure, because no one is ever 100%. You can't be 100% secure, so you have to be comfortable with the steps that you're taking in order to secure yourself. And then I think just like in general, what makes me kind of keep going in a crazy world is that we have the option to make it crazy or not crazy or sad or scary. And if we, similar to your show's title, right, if we like empower ourselves to be the best human that we can be, and that's what our goal is every day, then it doesn't seem like a scary world, right? I had those three missions I and pillars I kind of talked to you about. And that's what gets me going every day. That's what gets me excited. And it kind of gets me out of that headspace of worry and fear and kind of the headspace that scammers want you to get in. But I think it's just kind of a mix of, am I doing all the things I can to protect myself? Yes. And if I'm not, like, what can I do? So if you don't feel like you are, like, definitely check out my page or any of the other podcasts I've been on too. I give you really like step-by-step guidelines. So it's not just like this overarching, like, here's what you need to do. It's like, here's exactly the settings that you should consider turning on. And then I think it's also just like making sure that you're living in a state of empowerment, like this show's called, and really like empowering yourself to be the best person that you can be.
Absolutely. And I think it is an ongoing challenge nowadays. I would like to step quickly into a more global topic. If you were told you would live to 104 vitality, what would you begin doing?
Sorry, I cut off at the end, but if I was told to live to 104, would I begin to do what?
In full vitality, what would you begin doing differently tomorrow? Maybe also as a tip to others.
Yeah, I think just show up as your full self. So I absolutely love what I do right now, but I only got here because I decided to listen to my heart and know that, like, what my purpose was in this life. So like, again, I wouldn't change anything that I'm doing right now. If I hope I get to do this until I'm 104. But I know there's a lot of people out there that are like kind of in their 9 to 5 and questioning things. But I think just start when I was able to figure out my purpose and my passion is when I was able to slow down, which was really hard. So my whole channel started during COVID. And although COVID was a really hard time for a majority of the people, it's what allowed me to slow down. And that slowdown really allowed me to start understanding and figuring out my why and my purpose in this world. And obviously, I also think that it's going to continue to change and adapt, but it's giving yourself that time and that slowdown capacity to really listen to your heart, your body, and your mind and go after your dreams because you don't want to look back, 40 years from now and be like, I wish I had tried that. So I think it's just to slow down and listen and try it because failure is honestly the best thing in the world. That just means that you're trying things and you're getting closer to your end goal. I failed a lot of things before I got to where I am today, and I wouldn't have gotten here if I didn't try other things.
That's great. I think it's a really good message to give to the people that trying is good and trying is important, especially as we are in the world where people have to be cautious. On the other hand, no? Making sure that they are really sensitive about things, just as, for example, the wrong email, right? The fake email they receive. And on the other hand, you're right. We need to stay really in a way. Open for challenges. We need to stay open for things to try, because if we don't do, then we don't, we can't be innovative, right?
Right, exactly. And I think the other thing is like the best thing to do is if you're really open to try and open to fail, which sounds crazy, start counting your failures as blessings. Because I think for me, whenever I heard like a no from like other opportunities, I started celebrating the no's. And I kind of redirected me and re kind of rewired my brain a little bit to start thinking like, oh my gosh, every single one of these no's is actually just directing me to the right yeses. So, just like knowing that there's an inherent plan for your, like, for me, I believe in God, and I just know that he, like, everything that I've done, he's like led me down here for this purpose. And I might not understand why I'm in this spot, but just celebrating the maybe misdirections in the notes because it's just going to lead you to the right place eventually.
That's great that you're saying this. And I mean, you're a very focused person, as I understood or learned about you. And this is, of course, important, because staying focused makes you focusing on that, what the people need, on but also on your visibility, but also on being well known for exactly that, what you delivered, right? And I can imagine, I mean, you just said also that you should celebrate the no's. And this is something I really love what you said. And do you had also the habits where you said, oh, I really have to unlearn that, where I have to say no to myself?
Yeah, boundaries are very important. I learned that the hard way, especially when I was in corporate America. I'm a person that loves learning, loves doing as much work as possible, getting my hands dirty. And I had my last job before I quit to do influencing full time. I actually had a boss that was like, you need to learn how to say no to people because you're doing too much and you're not like it's like not allowing you to be the leader that you can be because you're in the weeds still. And I took that to heart. We also have different leadership styles, so I was a little different than she was, but it was a good kind of eye-opening because I do a lot. I mean, right now I jumped on this call at 4:50 in the morning my time, so sometimes there's certain boundaries I kind of push, but it's understanding what drives your mission, and if it doesn't, then saying no to opportunities or no to things. And if it does, then kind of figuring out ways to work with that. So I think the first step to understanding boundaries and understanding no's is understanding one, who you are and what your purpose is. Like if you know that you need a lot of sleep, like don't sign up for a 4:50 a.m. call, right? But like certain things like this is driving my mission forward. And Annabelle, like you said, we met in London a few months ago, and I just really felt that this was a great opportunity. I wanted to jump on here and help as many people as possible. So this was my mission, but there are many times you can ask my manager. I actually have a manager whose whole mission is to say no to people. So I don't seem like a bad guy, but before she came, I had to do it myself, and I had to say a lot of no's to opportunities that normally I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is great, but like I just can't. I'm one person, so I think understanding, yeah, your boundaries, because you can't pour from a empty cup, and you have to make sure that your cup is at least half full. I would try to say full, but half full sometimes, to make sure that you're going to be giving your best self to your job and what you love.
Absolutely. Yes, this is very important. And I like what you said. Also kind of walking the last mile, right? I mean, many people stay in front of something and they don't know when they have to say no or yes. And sometimes it's feel more comfortable to say yes, because it doesn't make them have to think about it, that you think about it, and also that you are strong enough to say no. I think it showed you in the end how much doors have been opened because of one no from your side. And I think what you said, I like also that you said, I'm one person. So I have to deal with my 24 hours with sleeping, with resting, with all these things.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not a parent yet, but I can only imagine. My sister just had her first child, and I'm one person, but like I can only imagine parents and like other responsibilities, right? Like you have so many responsibilities, so you have to make sure that you're putting your priorities first. I don't know if that's like for me, it's my family and my loved ones, and those are my priority. I'm putting them first, and I'm putting myself first because I have to. You have to put your seatbelt on and your mask on before your kids, but yeah, just making sure you understand your priorities and then going from there.
Absolutely. And this is, I think, something which is super important because it shows everybody, if you know your priorities, what you have in life. A lot of people later on, when they are old, maybe too old to fulfill all these, just come to the idea that they should have had priorities, that they should have had one goal to reach, and then there comes a time where it might be too late. So I think focus and have something you go for, and you focus on something which you can't do early enough, right?
Right.
So I'm happy to continue on. I'm happy to continue talking with you after the small minutes of break, and we see each other in approximately 2 minutes.
The station that makes you feel good.
Imagine Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A CogniMovement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the CogniMovement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, I'm happy to talk further to you. I'm happy to talk further to you, Kathleen. Thank you so much for the great insights you gave our listeners already some minutes ago. And I would like to learn a little bit and share also with the listeners how everything started. What childhood experience shaped you, the person you are, being so curious, being so focused, but also focusing on something where a lot of women stay away from as they are frightened to step into something which sounds technical with security.
Yeah. So I love that question because I was literally that woman. I was that girl when I was younger. I loved math and science, loved it so much. But when I was going into college, I honestly thought the only opportunities for me were teaching jobs. I was like, I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to be a math teacher. I had an amazing math teacher in high school. And I was like, I'm going to be her. Like, I want to be her. And my grandma and my aunt were also teachers. And at the time, my parents were like, why don't you go into engineering? Like, why don't you do something else? And I just like, I was like, that's a man's job. Like in my head, I had and it's not because anyone told me, it just like, I didn't see myself there. I just never saw any woman that like me, any person that's like had similar values to me in that role. It just never seemed like an option. And I got to school, I ended up changing majors because I did, in the US we have cheerleading. So I actually did professional cheerleading. I did college cheerleading and professional cheerleading, but when I went to university, some of the girls on my cheer squad were actually engineers too. And they're like, you should do it. It's really cool. We were like very similar. And so they kind of convinced me to do engineering and I ended up loving it. And then after school, when I was, you know, applying to jobs, I had already done three different types of aerospace engineering jobs. And I decided I wanted to go into tech consulting because I like loved aerospace, but I really wanted to continue to learn. I'm a person that absolutely loves learning. I need to constantly be like mentally stimulated and learning, which is why cyber is so amazing because it never stops. Scams never stop. New technology never stops. So I was applying to tech consulting and someone during my interview was like, hey, would you be interested in cybersecurity? And in my head, I had a similar reaction to like high school where I was like, absolutely not. Like that is, I don't code. I'm not good at coding. I actually took coding class in college and I was terrible at it. I had to do two semesters. It was awful. I barely passed. And then I went home and my parents were like, I think you should try it. Like, you don't know. And so after at all the jobs I got after school, I ended up deciding I wanted to do the cybersecurity job because I figured, you know, if I don't like it, I can always change. And I ended up loving it. So everything I learned was on the job. And I think I obviously had amazing parents who kind of guided me and kind of kept pushing the envelope a little bit with showing me what I could do. And I was the one that was stubborn and kind of dragging my heels because I just didn't see myself there. But I think now that nowadays girls are able to see themselves in different careers because social media, like they're able to follow. There's so many incredible other women that I follow that are in science, technology, engineering, and math fields that I think if you have any daughters that are interested in science or any of that, like have them follow these amazing women on social media. They're already going to be on social, so you might as well have them follow someone that can be inspiring. But I think for women just seeing themselves in these careers because they see other people that they aspire to be is so important. And like I said, I never thought I'd be in this field. I still think it's weird. I still find it really weird that I say I'm in cybersecurity. I also find it weird that I say I'm an influencer because that wasn't a thing when I grew up either. So I think it's just, if you have the right heart and the right purpose and the right passion, I think you'll go to the right place, but you need some direction. And sometimes you got to let go of that ego a little bit and say, okay, let's try it again. Like I said, no's can be misdirection. You have plenty of opportunities in this world. So just try the door. And if it doesn't work, close the door, open another one. And yeah, I think it's just trying to follow what makes your heart happy and also what makes your mind happy too.
Yes, exactly. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. Were your mother or your father or somewhere in your family also a special role model to you?
I mean, everyone in my family is a role model to me. I could tell you like so much about like every single one of them and how they've like shaped me to who I am, even my grandparents too and my siblings. I will say the start of my social media, my mom was a big like inspiration because she always asked me like the questions that most people ask me. And it wasn't until I started making videos about like giving her answers, like she'd ask me like, how do I check if I'm, you know, if my data account's been hacked or I'm getting all these spam calls, what do I do? Like, how do I do this? And every question she asked me, I'm like, great, keep them coming because I'll make a video about it because that means that everyone else has these questions too. So, and she also was the one that kind of started my entrepreneurial spirit. She's always been extremely entrepreneurial. And my dad has always been, and she's also been extremely hardworking, but my dad's also been extremely hardworking too. So I see there's so many like nuggets I take from my family members that have made me who I am. And I definitely, I know I always go in interviews and people are like, well, I can tell how much you love your family. And it's just because I have so much love and respect for them that I just think, I mean, they've shaped me to who I am, and I love this might sound weird, but I love everything about my life and who I am and what I get to do. And so I'm just so grateful that that they're in my life and they've been kind of guiding me the whole way.
Wow, that's great. What would you advise to other women if it's about role models? I mean, I think a lot of women look for role models, and if they have not the role models in their family, it's sometimes hard for them to find somebody where they get an idea of what is possible in life. Because if they come from a family where they're guided to get kids, just do the job somebody expects from them, don't be visible, don't fulfill your life with your potential, but just do something somebody expects from you, what do you think could they do?
Yeah, I mean, I love that question because I think one thing I will say, I did not ever expect my parents to be my role models when I was growing up. Like, I think as you get older, you start respecting your family a little bit more. But when I was growing up, my role model was actually Amelia Earhart. I thought she was awesome. I mean, to be the first woman to want to circumnavigate the globe and do something that a man could do, that was incredible. And I started like looking up to women that I wanted to be like from like a, yeah, from like an every aspect of life perspective. I think if you don't have role models, find the best mentor possible in your job or at university. though every single one of my mentors has shaped me to who I become too. So right now, obviously, like all of my family is my role model. I think it's they all have, there's no one that's perfect, and I get to take little bits of wisdom from every single person. But I promise you, they were not my role models when I was growing up. I did not get, not that I didn't get along with them, but parent and child relationship is very interesting, especially growing up when you're younger. And so for me, it was having belief in myself, and then having like amazing women role models like Amelia Earhart. Obviously, she wasn't around when I grew up, but I just like loved her story, and finding other women that just kicked butt in their field. And I love that. I mean, Hidden Figures is still one of my favorite movies. I love being able to see, watch, and Legally Blonde, like seeing so many women that just like go after their goals despite all the stuff that they've gone through, I think is so cool. But the thing is, I think people need to realize that you have incredible cheerleaders all around you. You just need to find who they are. And it's not just cheerleaders, it's like mentors and people too. Because for me also, when I was starting work, I had incredible mentors that I like worked with, that I've just been blessed with. So I think start kind of opening your eyes and around you, like in university or even at your job, and see who's your biggest cheerleader. See who has like faith in you. See who you can actually open up to and talk to them about, your goals and your dreams, and have them inspire you and have them encourage you. Like sometimes they don't need to inspire you to do something. They just need to encourage you. Like they don't have to be in a place that you want to be in order for them to be like role models too. So I think like having mentors is really, really important, and kind of having your own personal North Star. Like who is the type of person that you want to become? Having that of that vision for yourself is so important, and then surround yourself with people that will cheer you on and push you to be that person.
Thank you so much. What does a truly fulfilling day look like for you? And I can imagine, Caitlin, that every day looks different. But do you have things which are making your the day a good day? And do you have some ideas on for also the listeners what they can do maybe?
Yeah, so for me personally, I think fulfilling day for me is going to be different than everyone else, but like you probably could gather, my family's like a huge deal to me. So I want to start my own family. I want to like make sure that I have a little bit of life outside of work. And so fulfilling day for me is, starting the morning with, a walk and a Bible study with my significant other, and then going on and kind of reading the news, seeing how I can communicate what's important to protect, people online, responding to people's comments and DMs, building a company. Like I absolutely love building a company, so we just hired a few more people on my team. But it's having that, I don't like to say work-life balance because it's never going to be a balance. It will only be a balance if you love what you do. And so for me, being able to love what I do is such a blessing. I know there's so many people in the world that don't have that opportunity. I mean, pretty much everything I do to build this company is like the best thing ever. So I'll go on podcasts, I'll go on radio shows, I'll go on television. I go on television a lot. I'll go to conferences and do keynotes. And honestly, the best days for me are like the simple days where I get to sit at home and just like be on my couch and like be present with the people I love. I think, I don't know if it's just like a woman thing. I know like men feel very satisfied with their jobs, and I definitely do. But I also love the moments where I get to just be fully present with, like my family's in town right now. I get to be with them later today. So I don't have a typical day in the life. Being an influencer is a crazy world. Like you have a whole spectrum of opportunities every day. The one consistent thing I do have is posting every day, which I still do. I still write my own scripts. I still edit my own videos. I still post myself. No one has access to my channels because I'm always scared that like someone's gonna get scammed and then they're gonna get access to my channel. So I do those every day, and I also get to like, have a bit of a life and a balance outside of that as well. So I think it just depends on like people's jobs, but know that there's no work-life balance unless you love what you do. So
I love what you say, that there is no really rule for everybody, but that you have to find your own path. And I like also that you said that it's sometimes the small little things, the small rituals you have, which can make your day. And I think this is super important, because if you hang on the big big spots you need to reach and you don't get them, for example, then it could make you really sad, which is really challenging and maybe dangerous in a time like this, where every little step should be really combined with thankfulness to stay positive, right?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, thankfulness and gratefulness. And I think also realizing when you hit that high, there's also a low. Like you, I've realized, like I was constantly on a high. And then like when you have downtime, you hit a really low, like a big low, unless you start being really grateful for all the little things. And that's why I think my favorite time is literally just doing like the small things, you know, cooking breakfast, making pancakes, I don't know, little things that just like make you feel back to a normal person.
I like that very much. One last question, unfortunately, before we have to stop here the talk for now. Listeners who want to know more about you, maybe you can give them three small hacks, what they have to do to feel better in a world which is hungry for security.
Yeah. So right now, I think the best thing you can do is make sure that you have strong passwords for all your key accounts, which sounds really crazy. And I know people don't like passwords. They don't like remembering them. But I promise you, it's going to make a huge difference. If you can't remember them, put them in your notes app and lock your notes app, or get a password manager. I have two password managers. I'm a little overkill. So make sure that you have strong and unique passwords for every key account. The next thing is to turn on two-factor authentication, which means that not only are you signing in with your password, but they're going to send you a code on an app or an email or a phone or a text message. That is so important, because if you reuse your passwords, they're going to get in. But if you have two-factor authentication, they won't be able to get in without that second factor. So that second authentication mechanism. And then I think the next thing is to just don't react when you get like crazy calls or scammers. I actually don't answer my phone for people that don't, that I don't know. If they need to reach me, they can leave a message. But that way I don't even have to deal with potential scammers. But yeah, just wait 9 seconds before you click on any link, or if you really have to answer your phone for random calls, just be very mindful, because it's scammers are all around us, and they know exactly what to do to kind of trick your brain into having a gut reaction. So I think that'd probably be my next thing, is just be mindful of who you're answering and what you're picking up and how you react to certain things, which is a lot easier said than done. But
thank you so much, Kathleen, for the engaging discussion and for your inspiring insights. I look really forward to our ongoing exchange and the impact we will continue to make together the world a safer and a world, a place where we like to live in. So thank you for all the work you do, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again. And after the commercial break, we'll continue with Tal Runbeck.
Thank you so much.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach. Here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage, or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London, where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome, Till, here in the show. I'm very happy to have you here.
Hello, Annabelle. Thanks for having me.
I would like to introduce you with a few words, Till, and please add something if I've forgotten something about your really impressive life. You hold a PhD in history from Oxford University. You started in Procter & Gamble and was later CEO of Welthungerhilfe as an executive in the private sector and a CEO of a global aid organization. You have experienced two fundamentally different approaches. Founded Impact to merge the best of both worlds. Impact, a nonprofit venture capital firm, turns donations into investments and uses the tools of business to empower innovative entrepreneurs in Africa. Really impressive. Have I forgotten something, Till?
I think that probably captures my work life. I'm also a human being and I'm married and I have three kids and three chicken actually that are roaming in our garden and I'm looking at them as we speak.
Oh, wow. That's nice. Why exactly chicken? Is it the eggs you're interested in or is it just to have kind of pets? Or?
Well, I guess the kids wanted pets and I wanted to get something out of it at the time. And we were all living in Australia at the time. This was kind of a few years ago. And I did a 6 months training course as a complete urban farmer. Now, my green thumb isn't what I hoped it would be, but at least it taught me how to raise chickens. So that's how we got into it. And we like the chooks and we like the eggs. So I guess that's the story.
Great. I think it's also great to help children learning the idea of nature, that you give and you get, that it's a kind of circle. And if you're nice to treat the chicken nice, you get also nice eggs. And it is something which is, I think, easy to understand why it's so important to be close to nature, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, totally. And in fact, I mean, I know we're not talking about this, but one of the first social enterprise that I founded was a an association that teaches kids about how delicious nature can be by just going out and scavenging and collecting nature's bounty and then turning it into products and selling it at farmers markets and use the proceeds to then teach kids how to go into nature and discover how delicious it is. So in a way, there is a little bit of a recurring theme, but I guess that's not really the topic of our show today. It's a little bit more of a side interest, I guess.
No, but I think it's... But it's great that you're sharing this with us, because it shows, as you said in the beginning, this is a part of you, and it shows also that it's not just your job you are doing, it is also how you feel and how you behave, and that is part of your whole life. And I think this is important, as I think a lot of people nowadays, they have their job and they have their private life, and being part or being addicted to the nature is not really a topic. I mean, you've brought your two jobs together, but I think maybe also your curiosity for helping people to have a better life. What brought you there, and can you describe a little bit what is every day making you happy about doing that?
Well, the happiness question I think is easier to answer, because it's essentially getting this chance to work to meet amazing people and learn from them and get inspired by them. And what I do, and maybe we can talk about this in a second, is we basically turn donations into investments into African startups. So a lot of my work is meeting these great African founders and just be blown away sometimes by their energy and optimism and resilience. So that makes me happy. This feeling of having a job that, I mean, obviously things are tedious and kind of boring at times, but having a job where you feel like, okay, this makes some sense. And this is kind of trying to make the world at least a little bit better. Now, the question of how I got there, I think, is a little bit more difficult to answer, because it does sound like a bit of a random kind of course that I took, studying history first, and then essentially selling soap for an international company, and then kind of moving into development aid. I guess, at least in retrospect, it's always so easy to kind of post-rationalize. So in retrospect, I'm kind of trying to convince myself that it all makes sense, because when I studied history, the 18th century, I did my doctorate partly on Adam Smith, and what he wrote in The Wealth of Nations is this line about the baker who doesn't bake bread out of altruism, but out of self-interest, and yet everyone kind of gets food in the process. And this idea of using self-interest for the common good kind of stuck with me a little bit. And then I kind of realized what I should have realized before. As a historian, by definition, most people you engage with are already dead. So I wanted to have something a little more kind of in today's world. And if you haven't really learned anything, what you do, you go into marketing, and that's what I did. And worked in business for a while, and really loved the tools of business, and honestly also the competitive spirit, and everything that kind of business allows you to do to kind of deliver results and work with people, strategy, and all the rest of it. But I increasingly kind of got frustrated by this kind of recognition that essentially what you do in business mostly is make rich people richer. So I changed sides and moved into development aid, found a field that really resonated with me, and that was very close to my heart, and it was kind of development in Africa in particular, or in the global south in general. But the longer I did that, I realized that what happened to all the great tools that I learned in business, and why don't we use those to actually try to kind of achieve the goals of aid organizations? And that essentially kind of that zigzag led me to then setting up my own organization, which is a nonprofit company that tries to use the tools of one sector to achieve the goals of the other.
I mean, it sounds so easy, but of course, I think a lot of people listening now to us would say, "Oh my God, this is really impressive." Because what you build first, what you build second, that's all something which could fill two lives already. Where do you take how can we give these people an idea that that everybody can achieve something which is bigger than you think, and which really gives them the idea that sometimes it's more the idea of imagination or of that what you think you could reach than of the experience you have from the previous things. You know
Yeah,
what I mean?
that's a good question. I think two thoughts on this. One is that I've learned to stop looking at life as a ladder where you climb up and sometimes you fall down and then maybe you climb up again. And it suggests this linear motion. And I'm now seeing life much more like a jigsaw puzzle where you kind of collect these pieces of that jigsaw puzzle, and they may not fit together at once. In fact, they probably aren't. Anyone who's ever done a jigsaw puzzle, you get frustrated because the pieces don't seem to fit. But then sometimes, at some point, you find that that missing piece that connects two parts of that jigsaw puzzle that didn't previously fit together. And I think if you approach life a little bit like with a jigsaw puzzle mindset and a little bit more faith and trust that, you know what, the pieces may not fit together just yet, but I'll find that missing piece at some point, and then it'll all make sense. I think that's a nice way to approach life, and jigsaw puzzles tend to be quite colorful. I think that jigsaw puzzle idea makes for a more colored life. So that's one thought I have. The other thought was something that it took me a really long time, honestly, to find out what I really cared about in life. And to find, some people call it North Star, to find that theme. And for me, it's now using the tools of business to make the world a better place. But it took a while, you know. But once you have it, and it could be anything. It could be that you enjoy upholstery, or it could be that you're an artist, or you could be into music or helping other people. Whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. But find that North Star that gives you energy. And keep that in mind, but don't worry about the steps so much. That's what I found is just take the first step and see where it leads you. And then you take the next. You don't have to have that plan laid out. So those, I don't know, maybe it's kitchen psychology, but it's something that helped me kind of answer your question of how can you actually lead a life with purpose? And you don't have to have it all figured out at the beginning. I think that's probably the underlying message of both my analogies.
I like that very much, what you said, because it sounds for me also that you don't need to be that always that hard intense, focused on something. I remember yesterday I was sitting together with people 15, 16 years old. We had an event from the United Nations, and it was about showing the young people how important the ocean is. And it was interesting because they could drop questions to me, and I could also drop questions to them. And to one question I dropped was, what do you feel your role in life is? And do you feel relaxed currently? And one student gave me an answer which made me thinking, 15, 16 years old. And he said, my biggest fear is that I miss something in life. My biggest fear is that, for example, I study the wrong direction. Or that I, in the morning, I walk the wrong way, take the wrong subway. And I said, why? And he said, oh, I would have the feeling that life will be too short then if I go one year the wrong path. And I was a bit shocked because I thought, oh my God, he's 15 years old. He has a whole life in front of him. And I have now, I see now, in my inner eye, your entrepreneurs from Africa, doing everything for starting a new life, getting the next opportunity. Do you have an idea what these young people here in the Western world might could learn from your entrepreneurs in Africa?
Well, that's a tough one again. I can tell you what I learned from them, and then maybe that's what other people can learn from them as well. And it for me, if I look at us in our saturated kind of Western world where everything is possible, and everything in a way already exists, it makes it very difficult to find something that really kind of resonates and makes a difference. Now, if I look at the African founders that I meet, they live in environments that are much tougher than the ones that most of us live in. And they face some real problems. But if you face a real problem, then you can come up with a real solution. And chances are that real solution is going to solve the problem rather than come up with some random, I'm going to do a delivery service that delivers kind of food in 8 minutes instead of 10. So I would say what we can learn is go back to the real issues. What problem are we trying to solve here? And if it's a real problem, chances are you'll find a real solution for it, and that's going to make you much happier than trying to come up with a random solution without necessarily having a problem to solve. So that's the one thing I would say. And the other thing is just this, what I mentioned at the very beginning, this resilience of optimism in the face of adversity, of being able to turn something very bad into something promising. And that sense of optimism is something that a lot of us in Europe, I find, are just increasingly missing. And I think we need to get some of that back, actually. And Africa is a good place to start. Good place to start looking, get inspiration.
Thank you so much. Yes, I think that will help our listeners. And if our listeners want to know more about what you do, the great work, maybe want to support in a way, is there a chance to get in contact with you to support, get more information?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I love talking with people. And the easiest way is reach out on LinkedIn. I'm Till Van Beck. I've got such a complicated name. The beauty is I'm the only one in the world. So find me, ping me, contact me. You can check out impact.org as a website. It sounds a bit like impact, but it's spelled with a double C at the end because the URL was still available. Reach out, check it out, subscribe to our newsletter on the website, or come meet me in Hamburg and check out the chicken.
That's what I will do for sure. So thank you so much, Till, for this wonderful talk. And I'm sure we would have questions for another one. So looking forward to the next one, maybe in half a year or so, to hear what happened meanwhile and how the chicken grew. And maybe we have the chance to see each other beforehand and eat some eggs from your chickens. So that would be great.
That sounds like a deal. Looking forward to it.
So thank you so much for this engaging discussion and for sharing your inspiring insights with the listeners. And I look forward to our ongoing exchange and the impact we will continue to make together the world a better place. And that brings our episode of We Empower Now, the weekly radio show dedicated to celebrating the strength, resilience, and limitless potential of all people around the world to an end. Join us again next week as we continue. Continue on this empowering journey, share real stories of triumph, upliftment, and empowerment. Your presence. And we appreciate you taking the time to tune in. Remember, this time is a gift for you to discover new inspiration, embrace exciting insights, and find the motivation to live life to the fullest. Don't hesitate to get involved. Your voice is valued, and together we can make a difference. Thank you for being part of our community. And as you know, you can always reach us. And if you have anything you want to spread, you want to share, you have some curiosity you want to share, or some ideas, we are happy to take it. Until next time, keep shining and empowering others. Have a great weekend, and together we rise.
Hey now, hey now. Such a beautiful night. I could almost kiss the stars for shining.